Hi, Dave Finkel. Welcome again to KABU.
Great to be here.
Dave is the editor of Against the Current, a journal of the left. He is a prolific writer, publishes in Current Politics and many other journals. And he recently did an evaluation of the midterm elections. So, Dave, give us first a brief summary of your evaluation. And then I suggest we address two major issues you discussed. First, you pointed out that the factors that in days past stabilized the U.S. system of restraints and order, and the way it narrowly channeled class conflict and maintained relative peace, but all the stabilizing systems have become destabilizing. And second, you predicted that any positive steps on fundamental issues facing society are vanishingly unlikely, whether in healthcare, inequality, child poverty, racial injustice, and above all, about climate change. So, Dave, begin with your brief summary of the election.
Sure. Well, we try to think these things through from a socialist perspective and a movement perspective. My feeling was that the right-wing Republican project in this midterm, which they expected to sweep, was to, I would put it, carry on the project of the January 6th riot by more institutional means. That is, not only to put right-wing Republican majorities in both houses of Congress, but to go even further by potentially enabling legislatures controlled by the right-wing in gerrymandered states to literally overturn election results. And they were prepared to go to the Supreme Court with the insane doctrine of the so-called independent state legislatures in order to do this. I mean, that was kind of the farthest out dream. And the fact is that the right-wing project in this election failed. It failed because people turned out in large margins in support of abortion rights, in support of voting rights, in support of what's perceived as American democracy, and also in repudiation of some of the most extreme Republican candidates, many of them handpicked by Donald Trump, who were so bad that Mitch McConnell, of all people, said that he had a problem with the quality of the candidates. So there was all that, which I think has been widely reported and understood. Anyway, the project of continuing and carrying out the agenda of the January 6th riot fell apart. However, that doesn't mean that U.S. politics has stabilized or that the crisis is over. The crisis continues for a number of reasons, and this is where we get into the two things that you outlined. The enormous crisis confronting the society and the world, climate change, rampant inequality, rising rates of horrific gun violence in the United States, and racial injustice, so many other things. And also because the stability of the U.S. political system in the service of its elites has been guaranteed for a long time by certain institutions. One of them was the two-party system, where you have two corporate capitalist parties, one of them right of center, one of them either center or perhaps slightly left of center on some social policy and economic policy issues, alternating in power and agreeing on set of rules by which the political fight is carried out. And that factor of stability does not exist anymore because the Republican Party is no longer that traditional corporate conservative party. It's a party that I would compare to the Alternative for Deutschland party in Germany, far-right anti-immigrant party, which has some support, but by agreement of all the other parties is kept out of any national governing coalition. Or like the National Rally in France, the Le Pen Party. That's what the Republican Party is now, as far as its dominant forces are concerned, with one chilling exception, which is that the far-right base of the Republican Party is heavily armed in a way that European far-right parties are not. So I think that's really a factor. Other factors that were intended to guarantee the stability of the system was that you have a court system with a Supreme Court at its head, which avoids peremptory radical changes in the system. And this Supreme Court is not that. This Supreme Court is not governed by conservative judicial principles. This Supreme Court majority I call it W. SCOTUS, White Supremacy Court of the United States, is governed by a extreme right-wing judicial philosophy and by a project of essentially white Christian nationalism and misogyny. That's the Supreme Court majority, which is why its public support is at an all-time low, and that is where we are. The other thing, of course, another factor for the stability of the system, was the substantial decentralization of authority, where a lot of political authority rests with the states. Well, that's not a factor of stability anymore either, because you have crazy quilt where people's rights to vote, women's right to abortion, various other things are totally governed by where you live, not by rights that were considered for many, many years to have been guaranteed under the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So things are in a wild state of instability. And of course, there is political turmoil in both of the capitalist parties, the Democrats and the Republicans.
Yeah, I think that's right. On the other hand, though, they can't sit back in the face of very strong public demands for action. And that's where the left comes in. We of our generation alive today can be confident that we have a better chance of predicting the future and being able to respond to it. We have a plan for dealing with climate change, and around the world, the left has an international plan that could work, and there's vast resources and productive capacity at our fingertips. Anyway, Dave, it seems to me we know that, and whereas you pointed out that the positive steps were vanishingly unlikely, it seems to me, yes, it's going to be difficult to, in fact, gain that public support, but it's quite possible because our plan will work and can be demonstrated to work. And the capitalist plan is quite absurd. Go very slowly using all kinds of technologies that they're now trying to invent. How do you respond to that sense of the future?
Well, okay. Everything you point out in terms of the trends is right. We have a serious problem in that both our political and economic system is incapable of dealing with it, number one, because it's profit-driven, and number two, because it's undemocratic. For example, okay, we're being told by corporate America and by a billionaire like Elon Musk that the answer is the electric vehicle. Now, is that really right? The electric vehicle transformation means keeping intact the reliance on the individual car and on lithium batteries. Lithium is a rare element where the expansion of lithium mining creates its own environmental disasters and particularly a catastrophic impact on indigenous peoples. That's one issue. That decision is not being made from below democratically, being imposed because that's what General Motors and Elon Musk say is the answer in the future. And Elon Musk's performance at Twitter doesn't create a whole lot of confidence that he is capable of guiding the future of humanity. So there's that. And this problem is global as well. Take, for example, the fact that a third of Pakistan is underwater from the recent unprecedented monsoons. No one in Pakistan had ever seen a rainy season like that. But it's made worse by the way in which dams and irrigation canals have been built. This is a little technical, but parallel rather than perpendicular to the north-south flow of the Indus River, which means that when those floodwaters came pouring out of the mountains, there was no place for them to go. They're stuck in the fields. And the World Bank's answer to that, evidently, is to build more and bigger of the same kind of dams that have helped to create this tragedy. So, yes, I think what you're pointing to is that at the grassroots level, at the level of popular common sense and the level of popular interest in solar and wind energy and, you know, renewables, the price of which, of course, is dramatically reducing, that's all true. But the institutional and corporate and political factors standing in the way are enormous. And that includes the fact that the Democratic Party establishment remains dependent on its corporate mega donors. That's just a sort of a tip of the iceberg outline, but you're right about the democratic instincts and impulses towards sustainability, but there are enormous obstacles in the way.
Yeah, Roosevelt said he was going to save capitalism. Capitalism wasn't interested in his saving them. There was sort of an isolationist fervor in the country. He was not able to enter the war against Hitler until Pearl Harbor. Then the political climate enormously changed, and the U.S. entered the war. It seems to me that what we can look forward to is something similar that awakens the people to the great threat, and that is when food prices begin spiking and all of the rest. But there's also a chance, it seems to me, in the Congress that at the time that it starts getting more, in fact, even right now, to get substantial appropriations for the buildup of community energy and local energy and building a few model cities, for example, in the United States that would become zero carbon. And there are already some that they're not quite what they promote themselves as, but still they're approaching zero carbon. It seems to me that we can begin demonstrating that the left program will work and that their energy bills in those cities are much, much cheaper. We get sufficient recognition that much more local energy and through either wind or sun, it's much cheaper. It can be demonstrated. And right now, it seems to me the Progressive Caucus has some power in the Congress, and it might well be that we could do that kind of demonstration. I see that as the best chance for the left, or for, in fact, all of what we call civilization. It seems to me there really is room for hope, and in fact, it's part of a major part of the program of the left in the United States is to promote the demonstration of the necessity of moving towards that left, and there be democratically run on a local level, all kinds of participatory opportunities. How do you respond to that possibility?
Well, you're right about where the initiatives have to come from. I can't really speak to whether the Progressive Caucus has much power either vis-a-vis the Democratic Party establishment or particularly in a situation where the Republicans are narrowly taking control of the House of Representatives. That those waters are a little too murky for me to navigate. I would say, I know, Bill, you've done a lot of work and research on this, and the kind of perspective you outlined is also, I think, eloquently put forward, for example, by Bill McKibben and other writers like Naomi Klein and George Monbiot.
And Robert Pollin has really done terrific work.
Right, and there are hopeful signs. Where I sit here in Detroit, I have to say, in Michigan, we're not seeing much of the alternative, sustainable energy impulse. A little bit. People can get a price break by installing solar panels, but there's lots of corporate greed around that. What we've seen a little bit more in Detroit, because there has been, with depopulation and deindustrialization, there are large parts of the city that are vacant. We are seeing some impulses, some initiatives towards urban farming, sustainable organic urban farming. I'm not totally up on the details of that, but I know that that's part of the grassroots communal initiatives taking place here. But I'm not sure what you may be seeing in a place like Portland isn't necessarily happening yet in the major industrial or post-industrial or whatever they are, Midwestern cities.
Dave, I think we have to sort of end it here. I have some hopes for the Progressive Alliance. I think we have to sort of grasp at the best possibilities, and Portland, in fact, doesn't demonstrate them. The IOUs here, investor-owned utilities, control the whole energy system and the Public Utility Commission. Anyway, Dave, we have to end the conversation now. So thanks a lot for talking to us today, Dave Finkel, editor of the Journal Against the Current.
Let me say it's been a pleasure, and there's a lot to think about and a lot to be done. Let me give you two websites. The Against the Current website is www.againstthecurrent, all one word. Don't forget the two T's, againstthecurrent.org. You can also go to the website of the organization Solidarity, which sponsors and publishes Against the Current, and there's an article there that I sketched out right after the election called The Smoke Clears Not, and that is www.solidarity.org. solidarity-us.org. So you can find those two websites. They link to each other, and I think you'll find a lot of interesting material there.
Dave Finkel, thanks a lot for talking to us today.
Great. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. We have a lot to think about and an awful lot to do.